the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
So why is the late Freddie Scampatici getting the same treatment as dead members of the British royal family? This week, it emerged that his will cannot be opened until 2095. This is after a secret High Court hearing in London. The only other people who have had their will sealed from public scrutiny are members of the British royal family, which is probably a means to stop people being in uproar about their wealth and who they've left it to. We're joined by Richard O'Rourke, author of Steak Knife's Dirty War, which is an e-book which you can available to read. Richard, just remind people as to who Freddie Scampatici, Steak Knife, was.
Hi, Matt. It's good to talk to you again. Freddie Scampatici was an IRA man. And he'd been in the IRA from the start of the Troubles in 1869, and he was the head of the Internal Security Unit, also known as the Nutting Squad. Their job was to weed out informers and shoot them dead. And Freddie Scampatici was up to his oxters in this. He was the man who was going to the army councillor, whoever, and saying this fella's an informer and he has to be dealt with, he has to be shot dead. That's basically the kernel of what Freddie Scampatici did.
However, he was also working on behalf of the British, we believe.
Well, absolutely. He'd been working for the British from about 1977, which meant that the British knew virtually about every killing that the Nutting Squad carried out, and they carried out something like 40 killings, and the families are. I mean, just before I came on the air with you, I spoke to Kevin Winters, the human rights lawyer, and he acts on behalf of 30 of the families who were Scampatici's victims. He was involved in 30 of these murders. And they are very, very annoyed about this whole thing. I mean, according to Kevin Winters, he put a statement out saying the existence of a will points to this man having assets and funds, the origins of which will be of great interest to the next of kin of so many of his murder victims. We're now instructed to making applications to the High Court in Belfast to access the will. So this matter isn't over with, Matt. See that High Court judge in London who says this is sealed for 70 years? This is far from over, because the families of those who perished at this guy's hands are coming to Belfast High Court and they're saying, we want to see the will. We want to know what assets he has, because if he has an estate, they're entitled to the outworkings of it.
Yeah, the judge said there is nothing in the will which is in fairly standard form which could conceivably be of interest to the public or the media. That's a quite remarkable statement, isn't it, given that it is the case that, as I said at the top, apart from the most senior members of the British royal family, all wills are public documents.
Well, it's even worse than that, Matt, because it's been said that Scampatici accrued in and around £1 million in money from the British for his activities on their behalf. And, I mean, the families are suing, and they're taking actions against his estate. Not just taking actions against him, despite the fact that he's dead. His estate is also part of the action. And this British judge is saying, no, it's away for 70 years. They're saying it's not. This is going to go to High Court in Belfast, and this is going to be an issue. This isn't going to go away. The bits would like it to go away. It isn't going to happen. It's like everything with Scampatici. We don't even know how he died. I mean, there's a body of opinion, Matt, that says Scampatici was murdered. Right? And there's a book out by a guy called Henry Hammings. And he interviewed MI5 people for his book and had very good intelligence sources. And he said, this is what he said about Freddie Scampatici. This is a direct quote. The way Freddie Scampatici saw it, he had performed a valuable service to the British state. He had done the right thing by them, and now they were coming after him. That was for the Canova inquiry. It felt wrong and made him increasingly angry. If he were to end up in court, he said he was not going to maintain a dignified silence. He would name names and give up everything he knew. If he was condemned, everybody else was coming with him.
Okay, but he died in April 2023, we were told, at the age of 77. How many years had he been in hiding for? How many years since he'd left Belfast? Do we know of how he managed to remain hidden from any retribution?
Well, he left Belfast in 2003. I mean, he literally had to be dragged to the boat. He was bluffing it out, trying to brass neck it, trying to say, I'm not steak knife, it wasn't me. It was only when a British journalist released a tape in which he was talking to, in which he admitted being an informer, that he eventually realised he had to go. So he's been away from 2003, and he's been living in different locations in England. He started off in Manchester, and he ended up in Guildford, outside London. And again, he had a very, 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 very lonely life. The comparison I make is that he was like, do you remember Bin Laden? Was living in that house in the caves. Pakistan.
Yeah.
Pakistan, and you see him with a blanket around him, and he's standing with a remote control. That's the sort of life that I think Freddy Scapatici ended up with. He had his wife visited him, Sheila, who was a lovely lady. She visited him every so often, and I don't think he had a great deal of contact with his family, but he lived a very lonely, sad life.
So does this mean that he had a wife and children who might benefit from this estate if the belief is that there is money and assets in it?
Well, the wife went away. Sheila died in 2018. But there's kids there. He has children. They are lovely people. I mean, they've got nothing to do with this. I mean, they've got nothing to do with what their father. They're not even involved with the IRA or anything like that. So there is that aspect to it.
You see, Richard, there was this guy, Michael Johnson, who made the application. And the judge ruled about a need to protect the applicant, who's Johnson, and those named in the will from the real risk of serious physical harm or even death because they might be thought to be guilty by association with the deceased. And the judge said the real risk to his life and well-being, which the deceased faced in his lifetime, which is a quite extraordinary way of describing somebody who may have been responsible for and never actually was brought to justice over up to 40 deaths.
Yeah. Well, the irony in that has obviously been lost to this judge. The fact of the matter is that Freddy Scapatici was a monster. By any stretch of the imagination, Matt, by any measure that you can come up with, the guy was a monster. He was passing judgment on people and saying he should die, and I'm not too sure about him. We'll give him another chance, and he has to go shoot him. And the guy was a monster, and for this guy to say that his life was in danger, I have no doubt that had the IRA wanted to kill Scapatici, they would have. I think that they dug him up and they would have killed him. I think they just to hell with him, let him go. There's nothing in it for us.
All right, we leave it there. Richard O'Rourke, author of Steak Knife's Dirty War. Thank you.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.